Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Helen Schaefer, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Helen.
And, of course, I like to always check in with the vital statistics. My sobriety date is September 18th, 1986. I have a sponsor and a co-sponsor. My home group is the Tuesday Night Cranesville group that meets on Crane Road, outside in the suburbs of Cranesville, not right in downtown Cranesville. So, and tonight, I, following the natural sequence of things, it is step 11. And as I've been doing since the very beginning, you know, when we get to this 12th step next week, it says practice these principles in all our affairs. So for every step, I have been giving the principle that I have found in several different places behind the step. So next week we'll just put them all together, and those are the principles we have to practice in all our affairs. But anyhow, on the 11th step, what I found were three different ones. One was attunement. Next one was patience. And the next one was spiritual awareness. Well, attunement, I had to look. I had never heard the word attunement before. So, of course, you know, I do a lot of dictionary stuff when I'm doing this too. Attunement is to bring into harmony. Okay, that sort of makes sense when I think about the 11th step, the harmony between me and my God as I understand Him. Patience. Well, I had to go through several definitions of patience to the one I thought applied most aptly to the 11th step, and that was, it's used to refer to a character trait of being steadfast, resolutely or dutifully firm or unwavering. So, patience in practicing this seeking through prayer and meditation. And then to spiritual awareness. Well, that obviously wasn't in the dictionary, but I looked up spiritual. And I love this definition, because so often I did think, that spiritual only referred to this higher power. But spiritual is used to refer to anything that's not physical and not material. So some of the examples are hope and trust and love and faith and purity and unselfishness, not just a reference to God. So, anyhow, those are the principles behind the 11th step. And the 11th step, of course, is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that on. And when I read this step, I was not real crazy about it. You know, I was brought up, I went through 12 years of parochial education, a lot of praying. And when I came into the rooms of AA, I didn't know what prayer was. Prayer was reciting a set of words to me. You know, it was just, now I lay me down to sleep. But no, you know. But they had no meaning. You know, I never thought about the words that were in these prayers. I just recited them. Like I could recite the ABCs, and they had about as much meaning to me, to be very, very honest with you. And so I wasn't real crazy about this prayer idea when I first showed up here, till I heard at a meeting one time, in relatively young in this program, that somebody said, I'd rather pray and find out that there was no God than not pray and find out that there was one. And I thought, ooh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me, you know. I'm going to hedge my bet. And just in case there is really a God, I best be doing this praying routine. And so that got me started. And that's all it takes in here is a start, a willingness to start. And so that's where I started. And I've got my first reference to As Bill Sees It. And this is from a Grapevine article that he wrote. As the doubter tries the process of prayer. He should begin to add up the results. If he persists, he will almost surely find more serenity, more tolerance, less fear, and less anger. He will acquire a quiet courage, the kind that isn't tension-ridden. He can look at failure and success for what these really are. Problems and calamity will begin to mean his instruction instead of his destruction. He will feel freer and saner. The idea that he may have been hypnotizing himself by autosuggestion will become laughable. His sense of purpose or direction will increase. His anxieties will commence to fade. His physical health will be likely to improve. Wonderful and unaccountable things will start to happen. Twisted relations in his family and on the outside will improve surprisingly. That's a lot of promises that Bill is making based on prayer. And I took note of that. Okay, I'm going to keep trying that too, because that sounds good, you know? I look at prayer this way. You know, if I don't exercise my body and feed it well and hydrate it well, my body is going to become weaker, and muscles may atrophy, etc. And then my mind. If I'm not doing something to improve my mind, whether it's through reading or working puzzles or, you know, I'm going to lose mental alertness. And I have to believe that if I do not exercise my spirit through prayer and meditation, it will wither too. And when I came in here, I had tried to drown my spirit, you know, and it was drowning in a sea of alcohol. And I don't ever want to get back to that spiritual or lack of spiritual condition that I had when I walked through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was a desperate woman when I came in here. And I believe today that it came from lack of feeding my spirit. And of course the exercise of my spirit was prayer, meditation, helping someone without expectation of any return. That also feeds my spirit. And absolutely, you know, prayer is, I do not have to be in a church, a religious environment to pray. Thank goodness, because I wouldn't pray. So I looked up prayer, because that's what I do. And prayer is a solemn request for help or an expression of thanks addressed to God as we understand Him. Of course, the first prayer that most of us ran into in AA was that serenity prayer. And I found something that I never knew very interesting in here. I forgot to take that first page marker out. Yeah, I need to do that for myself, otherwise I don't know if I've done it or not. It's from AA Comes of Age. In 1941, a news clipping was called to our attention by a New York member. In an obituary notice from a local paper, there appeared these words, "God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference." Never had we seen so much AA in so few words. With amazing speed, the Serenity Prayer came into general use. So the Serenity Prayer actually came from an obituary. It was the first, and I had never seen that.
Can you just tell me what page?
Oh, yeah. I can tell you what page. That was page 108. The first one was page 321. and I'm going to take that marker out because otherwise I'll get to the end and think I skipped one. I learned that after not taking the markers out. Okay, and then the next prayer that we often hear in AA meetings, of course, is the Lord's Prayer. And let me tell you a little experience I had with the Lord's Prayer. I've been saying that for a lot of years in my life. Not with that ending, because I was one of those people that didn't put that last part in. And I'll never forget this experience. It was just over a year ago. There were family difficulties. They still are family difficulties. They have not resolved yet. But I remember being in a meeting that night, and when we got to the part of the Lord's Prayer that says, "We are forgiven our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," I swear I saw it in neon lights along the top of the wall. I mean, it was just like I got the message, you know? And so anyhow, let's take a look at what Bill has to say on page 20 for the Lord's Prayer. Oh no, this is still Serenity Prayer. Again, from the grapevine. I thought it was Lord's Prayer. Well, we treasure our Serenity Prayer because it brings a new light to us that can dissipate our old time and nearly fatal habit of fooling ourselves. In the radiance of this prayer, we see that defeat, rightly accepted, need be no disaster. We now know that we do not have to run away, nor ought we again try to overcome adversity by still another bulldozing power drive that can only push up obstacles before us faster than they can be taken down. So again, this was again the grapevine talking about that Serenity Prayer. Then, this prayer of St. Francis, which of course is in the 11th step. Now I have to be careful with the prayer of St. Francis. Most of it I just absolutely love. But that sentence, "Where there is error, I may bring truth." I have to be very careful about that because I had... It's not as bad as it used to be, but this terrible, terrible habit of correcting anyone when they made any mistake, you know? So I'm real careful when I say that. You know what? I only mean this in the best sense of the word. But on page 63, Bill speaks about the prayer of St. Francis in a grapevine article again. And this is the prayer in regards to his depression. If you've read much about Bill, he suffered from depression most of his life, even through sobriety. And he says in this, "I ask myself, why can't the 12 steps work to release me from this unbearable depression? By the hour, I stared at the St. Francis prayer. It is better to comfort than to be comforted. Suddenly, I realized what the answer might be. My basic flaw had always been dependence on people or circumstances to supply me with prestige, security, and confidence. Failing to get these things, according to my perfectionist dreams and specifications, I fought for them. And when defeat came, so did my depression. Reinforced by what grace I could find in prayer, I had to exert every ounce of will and action to cut off these faulty emotional dependencies upon people and upon circumstances. Only then could I be free to love as Francis had loved." So, you know, Bill talks quite a bit in here about prayer and about the practice of prayer. And earlier this week I called my sponsor again, in a turmoil, and she gave me two brief phrases to help me deal with the situation in my life right now. And one of the phrases was, "It's not personal." And the other was, "Consider the source." So, and I thought, that's pretty good. So then I'm researching for this, And I get on page 148. And here comes these short prayers. When I am feeling depressed, I repeat to myself statements such as, pain is the touchstone of progress. Fear no evil. This too will pass. This experience can be turned to benefit. These fragments of prayer bring far more than mere comfort. They keep me on the right track of right acceptance. They break up my compulsive themes of guilt, depression, rebellion, and pride. And sometimes they endow me with the courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. So I found it very strange. It just, you know, like a day before I started into this research, my sponsor had done that exact same thing with me. Consider the source, and it's not personal. Of course, today I sat down with her for a long time, and we discussed on how I don't take it personally. But, you know, I've been saying that phrase, and it's coming. Slowly but surely, it's coming. And let's see. And again, getting what I need when I need it through this research. Was that it? Yeah, that was it. Better turn the page. Okay. As Bill sees it, page 250. Most of these are grapevine, a few of them are letters, but this is again a grapevine. Prayer under pressure. Whenever I find myself under acute tensions, I lengthen my daily walks and slowly repeat our serenity prayer in rhythm to my steps and breathing. If I feel that my pain has a part, if I feel that my pain has in part been occasioned by others, I try to repeat, God grant me the serenity to love their best and never fear their worst. This benign healing process of repetition, sometimes necessary to persist for days, has seldom failed to restore me to at least a workable emotional balance and perspective. So he just, I love the things that he has to say about prayer, and as Bill sees it, it's, you know, it's making, for me, it's making prayer a vital, livable part of my life. And Buzz will be up here next time, 2 weeks, but when he gets the 11th step, he gave me a prayer many years ago, and I think, I can't remember, it was a priest that was a detective way back, an old TV show, but his prayer when he walked into a dangerous situation was just, stay close. And, you know, and I have used it. When I walk into a situation where I've got some fear, stay close. You know? That they don't have to be long, wordy, elaborate words that I can't understand. They're just simple expressions of thanking my higher power and asking my higher power for help. So that brings us on to meditation. Well, looking up the definition, it's a practice where an individual uses a technique such as focusing their mind on a particular object, thought, or activity to achieve a mentally clear and emotionally calm state. Well, for a long time, I used to figure that meditation required, you know, generally sitting motionless, maybe raising my hands and going, you know, and maybe that would get me into a meditative state. But after doing some research and also through practical things, I realized that meditation can be done while active, while I'm exercising. You know, the breathing, especially with the yoga breathing, gardening. That is my most meditative experience this whole summer long has been when I was out gardening. very calming, very relaxing. For me, crocheting. I can just sit and just be a happy hooker. What an excuse. It's called a crochet hook for those of you who didn't. Yeah, I did. That was not even. And again, it clears my thinking and calms my emotions. So, Bill, what does he have to say on meditations? Page 10. And this is from a letter. Constructive meditation is the first requirement for each new step in our spiritual growth. So, you know, in meditation on where we're going and what we're doing, and asking for help to get there. And then Bill refers to this as the step to grow on. On page 264, he says, from a grapevine, 1958, the step that keeps us growing. Sometimes when friends tell us how well we are doing, we know better inside. We know we aren't doing well enough. We still can't handle life as life is. There must be a serious flaw somewhere in our spiritual practice and development. What, then, is it? The chances are better than even that we shall locate our trouble in our misunderstanding or neglect of AA Step 11, prayer, meditation, and the guidance of God. The other steps can keep most of us sober and somehow functioning. But step 11 can keep us growing if we try hard and work at it continually. I don't know where. It's in my notes. I'll get to it, maybe. So that was page 264. And another writing that Bill has in here that I continue to need in spite of the problems in my family right now, and that's on 293, from a grapevine article again. A man who persists in prayer finds himself in possession of great gifts. When he has to deal with hard circumstances, he finds he can face them. He can accept himself and the world around him. He can do this because he now accepts a God who is all and who loves all. When he says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," he deeply and humbly means it. When in good meditation and thus freed from the clamors of the world, he knows that he is in God's hands, that his ultimate destiny is really secure, here and hereafter, come what may. And, you know, a lot of turmoil, like I said, in my family right now. But I trust God. I absolutely trust God. Second to last thing I want to talk about is conscious contact. You know, we're trying to improve our conscious contact with God. Well, what is conscious contact? Well, conscious is deliberate, intentional. Okay? It's not some fleeting thing. I deliberately set out to do this. I intentionally attempt to improve my contact. Is communication with someone to give or receive specific information. So my conscious contact is a deliberate communication with my higher power today. And my prayer life has unbelievably benefited. Some of you have heard this before. By my cat. I got her about 18 months ago. And I feed her in the basement. So first thing I get up in the morning, she's screaming at me. And so I take my meditation books and my prayers, in fact it's all in here now, down to the basement with me, and I feed her, and I'm saying my prayers out loud to her, and she likes it. She agrees with me most of the time. And then she jumps up. I have a rug over a table that I sit at because she likes to claw when she's up, and I brush her and I say my prayers, and she's clawing it, and she's just as happy as can be. She does not allow me to forget, well, in my case, to pray, in her case, to feed her. In the evening, she does the exact same thing again. When it's time to eat again, she starts yelling at me, and we head to the basement, and I say my prayers at night. And she has just been fantastic to help me to remember to do this, you know? Now it's so ingrained in me. She yells in the middle of the afternoon. I think, well, it's not really time to pray. Oh, yeah, I can say a prayer anyhow. You know, I don't have to wait for the evening. And my meditation improved immensely this past summer. And that's because of all the gardening I've been doing. It's amazing when I get out there and get in that dirt and play around in the yard with flowers and trees and mulch and trimming, and I'm constantly in contact with my higher power, not so much in prayer, but in just thinking about what this program means to me and what it's done for me. And it's just been a fantastic year in getting this cat and doing a lot of guard work. And God gives me exactly what I need when I need it. Sometimes I think I need it a lot sooner than He's decided, but I know today that God's timing is perfect. You know, it's absolutely perfect. Okay, and then comes the tough part in the 11th step. When it says that we are asked to pray only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Well, way back there in step 3, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand it. And I believe that the 11th step is where we take that from just a decision, something I want to do, something I'm working towards, and now's the time to do it, is at the 11th step. I have done all the other steps to the best of my ability up to 11, so now it's time. And I have a prayer, and I read it, I think, when I was doing the third step. But I want to end with it tonight, because this is definitely something I have to work towards. Am I there?
No.
Parts of it sometimes, but this is this third step decision. God, I'd like to make the decision with you that the third step calls for. Take and receive, O Lord, all my liberty. Take my memory, my understanding, and my entire self-centered self-will. Whatsoever I have or hold, you have given me. I give it all back to you and surrender it wholly, totally, completely, and unconditionally to be put in your care, to be governed by your will. So take my desire to run things, to dominate people, influence events, manipulate, maneuver, con, turn, twist, arrange and rearrange, and direct. Take the I want what I want when I I want what I want when I want it the way I want it. Take that passion for control to tell others what, when, where, and how much of everything to do. Take them all, God, and put them in your care. Give me only your love and your grace and the ability to accept whatever happens to me. Let me accept it graciously as being allowed by you, and I will be rich enough and ask for nothing more. Thank you.
All right. Hard part.
I think the hard part.
This is the hard part.
Am I looking?
Okay.
This is where we have the question and questions, and Helen gets the answer. Does anyone have a question?
We got one.
Hi, I'm Laura. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi,
thanks,
Laura.
Helen. So do you have any suggestions for those in the program who use the AA as a higher power? How do they turn their will and their lives over to their higher power as they understood? Do you have any suggestions for somebody in that situation?
Well, AA as a whole, not individual people, but as a whole, has all the principles of how I'd like to live. So if I can turn my will and my life over to those principles, I think I'd be doing okay. Even, you know, if I'm still resistant to some kind of higher power.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
Anyone else?
Did you say,
I bet.
Did you say that prayer is talking to God and meditation is listening to God?
Yes, I've heard that. I don't know that I used those exact words, but that's essentially what I mean. You know, in prayer, we're either thanking or asking for something, and in this case, now it's only guidance and direction. And meditation, you know, it's listening, although it's hard. I have trouble just trying to get a blank mind, you know? Something always runs in there. So for me, meditation seems to work better if I'm focusing on some principle, you know, that if whether it's love or honesty, you know, because I can't make my mind blank and just listen, because stuff just keeps running in there, which they say is perfectly natural when you're trying to do that meditation, when you're just, you know, that your mind's always going to go someplace else, because that's the nature of our minds, but to bring them back as soon as possible. So, yeah, but I like that simpler definition. Thanks, Pat.
Hi, I'm Lisa, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Lisa.
Helen, for your the series of steps that you've gone through with us, I like the way that you've broken down the different things with the definitions. When you were first working the steps, did you do the same things?
No.
So this was kind of like to work with us.
Yeah, I fumbled through these steps. I made it through, you know. When I look back on it now, I know that I was doing the best I could with what I had then. But this idea of looking things up in a dictionary was taught to me very, very early on, and I just sort of resurrected it while I was doing the preparation for these steps. But, you know, the dictionary is a good source of information when I'm doing anything in AA, you know? I like the Kindle because you don't even have to get a dictionary out. You just tap on the word and tap on it again, and there's the definition right in front of you. So, yeah. But, yeah, the definitions, they help. They make it more understandable.
I really liked it. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our favorite person.
I give them all a chance. Thank you again, Helen. Great job. You talked about, you know, it says sought through prayer and meditation. You explained a little bit about your prayer in the third step versus your prayer in the 11th step. Could you talk about your own personal evolution on how prayer has changed for you over the last 30 some years?
Ooh.
In about a minute.
Okay.
More than that.
Well, I guess I have to go back to, in 2001, my sponsor's husband, well, it started about 2000, was very ill with cancer. And I was praying that he'd be cured. And I talked with my sponsor about this, and she said, no, all I'm praying for is that I have acceptance of whatever happens. And I thought, well, that's not right, you know? So because my sponsor was saying he did pass away in 2001, my sponsor was praying that way, I thought, well, I need to start praying that way. So my prayer went, and his name was Tom too, God, please give Tom everything he needs to walk through this illness that he has. But if you happen to have a spare miracle, and you know, the difference is today that I know, I can't say it completely, but I come to realize that I do not know. I am not God. Therefore, I cannot ask God specifically for anything. I have to ask that I have the strength and courage, however this situation turns out. And I guess that's the difference in my prayer life. I don't ask for specific. It's the strength and courage to get through whatever it is that's in front of me. Okay?
Got a couple more minutes. Anybody else have any more questions for?
No. Okay, so thank you very much for your explanation on prayer. How about meditation? You know, I know when I first got sober, it was that raising your arms and doing transcendental meditation and trying to do like Maharishi yoga and trying to float and glide and do all kinds of things. Could you kind of describe your process as far as your conceptions or misconceptions and kind of what you practice today?
I'm laughing because my first real adventure in meditation was in a tanning bed. And for some reason, you know, there weren't any distractions. I had to close my eyes. And, you know, for whatever time it was set for, I knew I had that long. And that was really the first time I practiced consistently meditation. I have an app on my phone that's a meditation one. I have an app on my Fitbit. Those are just breathing ones, but they work. You know, I can do it for 2 minutes. I can do it for 5 minutes. But I enjoy the more active type of meditation where my mind, my hands are busy at something, but my mind is focused on listening to God. You know, I don't know, but they're good thoughts that come to me when I get, and my mind is clear. So, yeah, it's a more active thing for me today. Although every once in a while I sit down and try to go,
Oh my gosh, you're
in the Helen, I'm Bridget, I'm an alcoholic. I really like the way you utilize Bill's writings to illustrate steps. And my question to you is, how did you get that idea? Because I've never really heard anyone who's spoken of the steps to really rely pretty much on the writings of Bill. I've heard other speakers focus on the Big Book, which of course is expected. But you're referring to other writings that have been compiled through Grapevine, or you know, as Bill sees it, or maybe you pulled from other books, some of the books that I think are on the table in front of us. So I just wondered what led you to use that as a resource, because it's so illustrative of what this is about. You know, it's so perfect.
Well, many, many years ago, right after I got sober, there was a meeting started in Edinburgh called As Bill Sees It. And we read from that book at the beginning. I don't think they do anymore. I think that they pretty much dropped it. There's a new one that started, though, on Wednesday night at the Serenity Grove that is As Bill Sees It. And I always liked this book. And you know, it's old Grapevine letters he has written. Now, some of it is from the 12 and 12, and some is from the big book. But I listened to a few of the series here, and most of the focus was on the big book and on the 12 and 12. So I thought, well, let's look through here, and I looked through the, I used that, those principles I found and looked under the, that in the topics and said, read them and said, yeah, there's enough material there for the first one that I was able to do that. And for each of them, I found enough material from his other writings just to make it a little bit different, I guess.
Thank you, that was great. Yeah. And one other question, what is your cat's name and how old is your cat?
My cat's name is Poe, and she was a stray. I didn't even know she was male or female when I got her. And she's about 7 years old. She's a gray tuxedo, and she does not like when I talk on the phone instead of praying. Because the morning I got a phone call that Larry A. had passed away, I'm talking on the phone. Instead of praying, she reached right up and scratched right down my nose. Mm-hmm. So prayer she doesn't do that with. But don't you be talking on the phone when you're supposed to be paying attention and praying. So, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Last question.
Thank you, Helen, again, just above and beyond, and what a blessing it was to be here and to hear you tonight. My question is, knowledge of his will. How do you know when it is his will, and how does he tell you that? How does God...
Well, I don't know that for sure, but anything that I'm really shaky on, I go to my sponsor, my co-sponsor, talk to someone else who has been in this fellowship. Here's what I'm thinking about, and here's what I think God wants me to do. What do you think of the idea? And once in a while, I get, well, sounds like you're in your own head again. Or, you know, and other times, it's that sounds like a good course of action. But I don't try to discern God's will on anything important without talking it over with another person, because I'm not wise enough. No way, shape, or form. So, yeah, that's what a sponsor, co-sponsor, trusted friend in AA to bounce those ideas.
Mm-hmm. She decided against it.
Okay.
All right, everybody.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Helen. Oh.
I can go sit on that? Thank you.
Sit on. What are you doing?